take the scenic drive to the Guitar Oasis Cool in Jefferson County. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, jeffsguitar.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
And welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us today, State Representative Gordon Hinds. He is a Democrat from Oshkosh, a city that I resided in 1982, but I probably always say that, but I enjoyed my time in Oshkosh. And Gordon, I didn't behave myself very well either.
Sometimes that can be easy to do in Oshkosh.
Whatever that park is on Lake Winnebago, I didn't behave myself at that park. That's all I'm going to say.
And it's a big park.
All right. You were on with Scott Manley from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce the other day, and you kind of got him stammering a little bit when you pointed out that, in fact, their numbers that they're touting for this tax credit for agriculture and manufacturing, the gains were before the tax credit went into place, right?
That's right. I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, they can't name it one specific job that is 100% attributable to this massive tax giveaway. And then when they started to just say this, you look at the numbers, and under their logic, their tax giveaway has actually been worse for the economy because, 75% of the jobs that WMC highlighted, were created before the tax cut was implemented. And, we've seen growth largely subside. So you got to ask yourself, $1.4 billion through the end of the next budget, and what are we getting for that?
Well, his quote about, we don't have factories full of robots. I don't know if he said that because he wants that to become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because they're always threatening to automate, or they always use automation as an excuse that we really haven't lost jobs because of bad trade deals. But this is an organization that has consistently supported every job-killing trade deal. And, of course, trade is nothing more than a Madison Avenue term for corporate giveaway. So they've always supported those. So I don't quite understand where they're coming from, and I don't understand why they don't think that there ought to be some, obviously, breaks, like the one for Mercury Marine and Fond du Lac, but there ought to be some accountability with it as well. Right?
Absolutely.
Certainly didn't save Oscar Mayer from leaving Madison.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, there's so many ways that this is just completely hypocritical. I mean, can you imagine if that we had a spending program, or I guess we do with transportation, but, that cost three times more than what the original forecast of what it would cost was? I mean, there's so many things that are offensive about this. I mean, if you go back to why or how this happened, they did it in a last-minute budget motion with no debate, with no analysis, with no input.
Was this a Glenn Grothman special?
This was. And, of course, the estimate was that, it was going to cost $128 million when fully phased in. And now we're seeing it cost so much more than that. 2 years ago during the budget, the finance members and myself, we didn't even say repeal it. We said, why don't you guys delay full implementation? We don't have the money, obviously, to pay for this. We're cutting, funding for the UW system. We're not putting any money into schools. And they wouldn't even do that. That's why I bring up the fact that this was a bigger priority than our kids. This was a bigger priority than our future economy and opportunity in this state. And boy, I mean, it was a really short-sighted decision.
Who is eligible for this tax credit in agriculture and manufacturing? Is it the individual owner of the business? Is it the corporation? How does it work?
So it's limited by, it has to be actual manufacturing or agriculture production, done by the, business in the state. And it all has to do with those, those codes that define exactly what kind of production it is. You can apply for the credit either eliminating your corporate income, or if you file as an individual, if you're an owner of a plant or a factory, reducing your individual income tax liability. And, of course, that in the distributional memo that we attached is really where you see the highlights of the fact that 75% of the credit goes to people that earn over $1 million a year.
Wow. All right. So this goes to some big corporate farmers. This goes to people like Ron Johnson, right?
Well, the other thing that we noticed
I just
is
happened
that
to throw that
the,
name out.
I think the utilization of the agriculture part of the credit was less than 9%. So
interesting. It's mainly manufacturing. Okay. So what would be a more efficient way to keep manufacturing in the state and lure manufacturing into the state? I think I would hope we could all agree that manufacturing is a very great way to spur other jobs through the supply chain, and that it goes way back in Wisconsin's history. We're good at making things. So I would hope we could all agree on that. What would be a more efficient way to do it?
Well, for instance, I mean, when we did the, like I said, with the Oshkosh Corp and with the Mercury assistance, it was a credit for each job added, for each new job that was added up to a certain amount, and they didn't get the full amount of the credit until they got that job, or a credit for investing in your equipment. You know, a lot of times if they can increase productivity, but they're going to need more people, those kind of investments, you know, can be rewarded. The problem that we have with this is they're going to utilize the credit whether they hire anybody or not. And it seems to be just this misunderstanding of how things work. Someone will hire people if they can ultimately make more money because there's demand for whatever it is they're producing, giving them extra money by forgiving their tax liability doesn't make any assurances on that. Sure, has it helped some businesses? Probably, but it's so inefficient given how expensive it costs and how much it's negatively impacted our future economy. If you look at the multiplying impacts about, you know, the benefit of public education, and it's hard to say that this was a great use of $1.4 billion.
Well, I'll present his name in the way the late great Marty Beal did. Fitz the Elder. Fitz the Elder said the other day that the school districts should just start merging.
Well, Fitz the Elder has, easier said than done, and is, you know, going to wave a magic wand. I mean, I think that that's sort of oversimplifying what is probably a more complicated problem.
You see, I don't get this. His wife is or did work in the Hughesburg School District. I mean, he ought to know better.
I can't speak to that.
You gotta know better. So they've done a great deal of damage. You know, we hear about the small schools in and around Madison. Has it hurt schools up in Winnebago and Outagamie and Fond du Lac County?
Absolutely. I mean, the Oshkosh Area School District has gone to the voters two times in the last 3 years for operating referendum. In other words, in order to pay the bills, in order to compete with other districts for teachers, in order to have adequate technology for our students to learn. So we voted to raise our own property taxes to make up for the cuts. And there's been 139 other districts that have done the same thing, raising their taxes by $600 million to make up for cuts from the state. And, of course, those are the lucky districts when you think about it. Think how many districts are just having to deal with the cuts, increased class size, limited course offerings, less ratio per student.
And what do you think their solution is going to be?
Well, that's the interesting thing. As we head into the next budget, you're seeing Governor Walker drip, drip, drip what's going to come out. This guy is going to have a budget that aims to restore and fix what he has spent the last 6 years dismantling. He's obviously got an eye on the 2018 election, and here he is, I'm going to fund rural schools, we're going to put more money into education.
He delayed that because he had that cough, and the next thing you know, he's sitting in the president's chair.
That's
in the Oval
Office. He had a case of transportation audit-itis, we like to call it.
All right, so, yeah, next thing I know, he's sitting in Donald Trump's chair in the White House. It's scary enough that Donald Trump sitting in that chair, seeing Scott Walker sit in that chair, it was eye-popping.
Yeah, and I think he was on a little bit of an ego trip, because I don't know about you, but I didn't find too much about Act 10 to be that complicated. It was pretty straightforward. So when he goes to the press and says, I was explaining the intricacies of Act 10 to Mike Pence, I'm like, boy, that was really complicated policy. How does that work?
I don't think he really had to. Wasn't Mike Pence an ALEC member at some point? I'm sure it's been explained to him. They had that in their boiler room many years before Scott Walker came around. He was just the franchiser, I believe, of that little trick. So Scott Walker said he would like to help the president implement something like Act 10 nationwide, and a couple days later we hear about national right to work from the Republicans.
Yeah, I mean, I think the governor probably said from the playbook, and it sounds like Donald Trump is following it. In other words, just do as much as you can, as fast as you can. If it disrupts lives, if it sparks divisions and polarizes people, that's the way you want to go. It's the old Diane Hendricks conversation. The first thing you want to do is divide, and then you conquer.
You know, it's interesting, though, because they were able to divide and conquer in Wisconsin because he was lying to Terry McGowan and some of the trade unions. Trade unions were at the White House the other day. They loved the meeting. Donald Trump was all happy. And next thing you know, we have a couple days later, we hear that the Republicans are going to introduce right to work. At first, I thought they were going to go slow and divide and conquer by just going after federal employees. But it sounds to me like they're just going to go for the massacre.
Each day brings something new, and it's hard to be surprised just given how bad it is. I don't know what policy is eventually going to emerge, or if you're going to see some disagreements between Congress and the president, but it seems like the policy right now is throw as many things at the wall as possible, even if they're inconsistent with what we said or did yesterday, and then we'll just go from there. It's a little bit of chaos theory. Oh, and by the way, Russia invaded the Ukraine, and Pentagon officials are upset about how the raid in the Yemen occurred. So, well, we're all melting down over these things. We're sort of looking the other way. There's a lot of things going on in the world that deserve a lot more attention.
Let me ask you, who won Scott Walker bingo the other day?
Unfortunately, there's never any winners involving the State of the State address.
Explain how this bingo works.
Look, we've issued it as a press release in the past, and we mostly to highlight how predictable the governor is with some of his token sayings like thanks to our reforms or blaming Governor Doyle or the Green Bay Packers. This year, we didn't have much time to work on it. We did it at the last minute, handed out a few just to show people before the actual address. No one actually plays bingo.
Oh,
it's mostly a good laugh. I said when I looked at it afterwards, I thought there were about six or seven that fit the description. But again, it's certainly not hard to come up with things that the governor's going to say, and I'm sure we're going to get a higher dose of it this Wednesday.
You know, I want to help with that next bingo card because for the last six, 7 years, he is always saying, in the end, in the end, in the end. Well, I have to be careful in how I put this, but Wisconsin's kind of taken it in the end for a long time. And it appears as though he's now going to run against poor people for re-election. Scott Walker's always got to have a boogeyman. It kind of looks like his lack of job performance as far as raising the economy out of the doldrums in Wisconsin is going to get blamed on Wisconsinites being lazy. Am I misreading something here, or is that his boogeyman for 2018?
Well, I think you're on to the pivot that has occurred. You certainly don't hear much about 250,000 jobs. In fact, you don't hear much about the economy. I think what you're going to see is twofold. He's going to play to the base by ratcheting up the war on poor people, saying, well, we're going to do all these things that'll just force them all into the workforce, and who cares about what happens to the kids? And then the other part of it is you're going to see him put some increased investments in K-12 and the UW system, which will be a small fraction of what he had spent the last 6 years getting rid of. So, but you won't hear that context. It's going to be a brand new gov in terms of some of the things that he's ultimately doing with an eye on, 2018. And the big elephant in the room is the governor is going to absolutely ignore doing anything about transportation because he's incapable of actually governing. Governor Walker is a lot of things, but he's not a leader. And a leader would have dealt with this by now. And the fact that we keep on borrowing money, increasing costs in the future, and really setting us up for some horrible decisions is just a total lack of leadership and has become symbolic of his administration the last 6 years.
Gordon Hinds was with us at SlysOffice.com. It was kind of briefly mentioned that during the obviously the Department of Transportation being thrown under the bus on their estimates, that possibly one of the reasons that's happening is because they know the governor is so intransigent, they're trying to kind of lowball some of these projects so they get them passed by the legislature. What do you think is going on?
I'm still looking into that. I mean, when I served on the Building Commission, we really worked over the years to get our estimates to be better, and they really were good, meaning we wouldn't approve the money until we had 35% of it designed and could get a good idea of what the project was ultimately going to cost. The fact that they didn't factor in inflation is sort of a red flag to me. Because if you lowball on what it's going to cost, it's easier to get those projects approved. And without something like the audit, we wouldn't know, you know, that these projects actually went over. And so a governor who's unable to provide more revenue for what projects actually cost was able to still, with limited dollars and borrowing, move projects forward that he wouldn't have otherwise been able to because of those low figures.
Well, I was going to ask you, we keep talking about this, all this difficulty with the Department of Transportation and funding. How is it that there was money to build a new headquarters off Sheboygan Avenue in Madison?
Little complicated in that the transportation revenue for roads is from the segregated fund and, you know, gas taxes and vehicle registration fees. The only reason that looks any more like a good decision is if you saw that it was going to cost about $15 million a year just to keep that existing monstrosity afloat. And so...
That was designed by one of East Germany's finest architects.
It definitely was that era. If you were driving on University, you could see, you know, the Kiev in the distance.
All right, but it was interesting there that I was there the other day. Do you realize that there isn't going to be retail business for transportation customers there to renew your license plate or your driver's license? You won't be able to use the new building.
There's no DMV at the new building.
There will be no. As of now, the clerk told me they don't have room for a DMV office. Maybe you can check into that, but that just seems a little outrageous to me.
I mean, if I were a local Madisonian and I wasn't sure where to go, I would think that I could go there. To be honest with you, I don't have
You're not in the building.
But look, it is a big agency. It did have a pretty big price tag with sticker shock. But to be honest with you, what it would cost to keep that old place afloat and what the other options were regarding Madison real estate, because I think they're also maybe moving another agency or division into the building as well.
Let me ask you about this tax credit that, you know, he that takes this gives it back, the earned income tax credit. What do you think Scott Walker's doing?
I think Scott Walker's feeling the heat from the last few weeks. I mean, it's hard to defend giving 11 people who make over $30 million a $22 million tax cut. And when everybody is reading about the fact that this, you know, his tax giveaways are disproportionately going to people who earn over $1 million or even over $30 million, I think this is an attempt to add on to his, you know, policies that are ultimately going to make it harder for some of the people that are struggling the most to get ahead. But it adds, you know, $20 million to for low-income individuals that I think is his weak attempt to try to address a blind spot for him, which is his regressive tax cuts. This way you can say, and we're even giving tax relief to those that earn the least.
Just kind of looking forward to 2018, are you optimistic that the Democrats can improve their lot in Wisconsin, or are you pessimistic?
I have to be optimistic.
Otherwise
I can't do this.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's February. you know, I can tell you that if people had the same information and perspective, you know, that those of us that have been following state government every day have, that this guy certainly does not deserve another term. And I think the polls that we saw, you know, through the fall certainly echoed that. Now, there's going to be some more money, although I think the revenue projections are awfully optimistic, and I think it.
Yeah, you're not so sure about their numbers, are you?
No, because they make a lot of assumptions on Donald Trump spending $250 billion on infrastructure and cutting taxes, so it means we would be running record debts and deficits. I wouldn't be surprised if these guys are hypocrites on a lot of issues. I feel like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have made a lot of pledges about not spending money and cutting taxes. But the other one was, in the same revenue estimate, it said the economy could actually contract and have a negative impact if we enter a trade war with China and Mexico. And given some of the president's comments the last week or two, that seems as likely as some of the things regarding infrastructure.
Well, and, he's a bull in a china shop. As much as I do think China's been cheating, and I do think there are big problems with NAFTA and it should be renegotiated, I don't think building a wall or threatening a country that doesn't want the wall to build it is a very good way to have a negotiation with a partner in North America.
No. I mean, there's so many unknown things here, too. I mean, there'd be a great opportunity if you really could revisit a lot of these things to make it so it's more supportive of working people in America. I just don't know how you do that, given that other countries have to agree to those things, too. But I think it's the disruption of someone who thinks you can just tear those things up. China's going to move ahead. And while there are a lot of problems with TPP that just didn't deserve to make it go forward, I don't know what happens to our own exports if we're closed out of markets because of a president that thinks he's going to bully other countries into whatever he wants out of them.
Did you, you were reelected. Did Donald Trump win your district?
Donald Trump did not win my district, but he certainly did well with certain populations, and we saw that in the Fox Valley that he definitely overperformed Mitt Romney, and I think the pattern that you can kind of see throughout the state with who Donald Trump appealed to didn't fit neat and tidy into areas where we thought this is Democratic or this is Republican, and I think that obviously is reflective of a lot of frustration with traditional politics, and also someone who is playing on some of the fears and insecurities of people.
I imagine you've had some pretty long conversations with constituents about this.
I did. I mean, it's when you're trying to figure out what's happening in the country, going out and talking to people is a good thing. And a lot of them did want to talk about the presidential race, and it was inconsistent. I mean, there are plenty of people who certainly were supporting me and either didn't like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump had. They wanted to see the place burn down. We were talking about the man and ag credit earlier. I mean, I said it on the show the other day. It's decisions like that where you try to explain to someone in the public that we're eliminating the tax liability for some of the richest people and we're cutting the things that your children use. I mean, it's those things that are just like, does it even matter?
I guess my fear is a lot of people stay home now. I mean, Donald Trump won Wisconsin, and Ron Johnson won Wisconsin as much because people stayed home as who they voted for.
Right. I mean, I don't like the circular firing squad of Democrats after an election.
I'm not pointing blame at anyone. I'm just pointing out that a lot of people stayed home.
Absolutely, and that's definitely when you say, "Well, what happened?" I mean, that's enough right there. I mean, if we had turnout that we saw in 2012. The percentages were there, the turnout wasn't, and when you think that we lost the state by, 27,000 votes, that could have made a difference. But the distribution of the votes has been an ongoing pattern that is going to be a challenge, especially when you think about things from the legislative standpoint. I think, I don't want to use terms like identity politics and this or that, but a broad message that appeals to something that's in all of us is still the way you have to go. I think both sides have probably focused on targeted demographics too much, and I think Donald Trump did prove in some way that you could broaden you know, the peel by tapping into something, you know, that certainly existed through a cross section of
people. Well, the other problem is, you know, you can have some great messages and some great targeting and some people that work really hard. Politics has become nationalized to a point where, you know, when one Democrat goes down in the country on a bad night, a whole bunch do now. You can see patterns with certain demographics. And when certain people turn out and don't turn out, you're really vulnerable to taking a big hit. And we've been in a pretty bad spell here for the last couple cycles. It's been very difficult, and it's disconcerting. I hope we can get back up on our feet.
I agree. I mean, that's absolutely right. And of course, what might appeal to win the state of Wisconsin is not going to be what works, you know, in a lot of different districts. We lost my colleague Chris Dano in Trempealeau County, and you know, he beat Hillary Clinton by 8 or 9 percentage points, but still lost the district because there was that much of a swing there. I mean, there was absolutely nothing that he could have done.
Right. No one would ever accuse him of being a Marxist in Madison.
No, absolutely. But it is the national brand, and that's why, you know, I think the solution can come from the state level, but it is hard when, you know, you're tied to whatever comes out of Chuck Schumer's or Nancy Pelosi's mouth, especially if that's not something that's going to play so well in the Fox Valley or in Dave Obey's old congressional district.
Amen to that. Gordon Hinds, state representative from Oshkosh, a Democrat. Thanks for coming to SliceOffice.com.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.